Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your host.
No matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand. For your life is in His hand.
No matter what may come,
no matter what.
Amen. God bless you. Good evening. And again, welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God and God bless you. We have a caller on line 215-437. God bless you and thank you for tuning in. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to press the number 1 and we'll get you on the air. Amen, amen. Before we do anything, let's just go into prayer before we start anything. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you to say thank you, number 1. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for saving us. Father God, thank you for being God. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, anything we've said or done, oh God, that was not of you, anything we've even thought that was not of you. We ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we just lift this broadcast up to you, Father, and pray, oh God, that you will just allow your Holy Spirit to come in and teach us what you would have us to know, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just say thank you and praise you and give you all glory and honor. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those who may be listening live and those who may be listening in the archives, those who may not be born again, that you will just draw them to you, Father God. For your word says no man can come to the Father except he be drawn. But, Father, those that are supposed to be drawn, if they're listening by way of this broadcast on tonight, Father, I pray that you draw them, Lord God, that they will come to believe in the redemptive work of your Son, Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. And, Father, we just thank you for it right now. We'll give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Glory to God. On tonight, we want to talk about the book of Romans. I know Wednesday is supposed to be testimony night. So if anybody's listening in the chat room, listening on the phone lines, if you'd like to call it, if you'd like to call in and give your testimony, please do so. The number is 323-693-3054. Again, the number is area code 323-693-3054. If you have a question, comment, or testimony, please feel free to call in and do press the number 1 when you call. Amen. Glory to God. So on tonight, we want to talk about the book of Romans. Let me just say that, you know, in the book of Romans, a lot of people use the book of Romans chapter 1 to speak against homosexuality. A lot of people use Romans 1, you know, as their, what do I want to call it, their, the law of laws to come against homosexuals and lesbians and bisexuals and, you know, those kind of things. However, what I'd like to bring to you is that not only is the Bible talking about that in the book of Romans, but it's talking about other things as well that we just overlook because the theme has been for Romans chapter 1 about homosexuality. But the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1 all unrighteousness, okay? It talks about all unrighteousness in verse 18. It talks about unrighteousness in verse 29. And then it goes on to list other things, but what we get stuck on is the verses that talk about homosexuality, okay, the women changing the natural use of their bodies in verse 27, and we like to get stuck on that. But tonight we just want to read. We want to begin reading the book of Romans, and we want to begin reading at verse 18, Romans chapter 1. Verse 18, and I have the King James Version that I'll be reading from tonight. And it says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's just stop right there in verse 18, okay? It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Okay, can we just stop right there? Okay. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. So I hate to bust anybody's bubble, But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. I don't care if you call it homosexuality. I don't care if you call it lying, stealing, whatever it is. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Pastor Felicia, God bless you.
God bless you.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. I'm glad you joined us because I want to really talk about Romans chapter 1 because really, you know, people want to browbeat people over the head concerning Romans chapter 1 and want to talk about homosexuality, you know, and want to just relegate it to that. I want to talk about the part where it says in verse number 18, where it says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. It didn't stop and say that it's the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against homosexuality and lesbianism. Okay? If I'm wrong, correct me, because you have a Bible too. So if you could read verse 18 out of your Bible and tell me what your Bible says and see if our Bible say the same thing. Because sometimes people act like I'm making up stuff, and I just want to see if your Bible says the same thing as mine. And whoever's on the phone line, if you would look in your Bible and see if your Bible says the same thing that I just read, because if it didn't, then there's a problem. I don't want to be trying to teach somebody something that's not correct. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I'm going to read it again from my Bible, and I'm reading from the King James Version, verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, yes, unrighteousness in that one verse, two times. Okay. So what does yours say, Pastor Felicia?
It says the same thing.
Okay, it says the same thing? There's nothing different? So it doesn't say
nothing.
That the wrath of God is revealed from heaven just against homosexuals?
Nope, it sure don't say that.
Oh, okay.
All unrighteous.
Okay. All unrighteousness?
All unrighteousness.
And all what?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I can't see.
All unrighteousness and, well, all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. So it says all. I have a question. And the other caller who's on the line, if you could press 1 and join in on the conversation, that would be cool. But if you don't want, I understand. But what does all mean, Pastor Felicia? When somebody
everything.
Says everything?
Everything. Nothing is exempt.
Oh, okay. So nothing that's ungodly and nothing that's unrighteous is exempt from the wrath of God that's revealed from heaven.
That's right.
Oh, okay. So those people that are teaching that is just talking about homosexuality, then they need to go back and read it and see the rest of the stuff that God is talking about because he said all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. That's what the word says. I didn't write it, but that's what it says. Okay. So I think one of the things that we need to sit here and this is why God tells us to meditate on the word of God day and night. Meditate on the word. Don't let this word depart from you. Don't let it depart from you. Meditate on this word day and night. Okay? If you finish reading chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I was looking at a broadcast one day, a very well-known pastor in Philadelphia, and
Hey, Evangelist Mac, how you doing in the chat room? And if you feel like joining this conversation, please call 323-693-3054 because I know you have something to say about this. But I was listening to this well-known, you know, pastor in Philadelphia, and he's a very, very staunch believer against homosexuality. But and he'll tell you in a minute. He don't hold back about none of that stuff. But what we have to do is we have to say the Word of God says in Romans 1:18, it says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We have people who are taking the Word of God, which is the truth, and they're turning it around to be what they want it to be. They're taking the Word of God and making it okay to say whatever they wanted to say. This particular pastor who I'm talking about, who comes against homosexuality, he had a homosexual on his program. And everything this man, this pastor, gave this homosexual about the Word of God, this man had a word from the Bible that he used to make it say it's okay to be a homosexual. Okay?
My Lord.
I'm telling you, I wish I had it so I could send it to y'all. Every single word this pastor said against homosexuality, he had a word that condones his sexuality, which means this verse right here in verse 18, it says, he held the truth in unrighteousness. He took the Word of God and twisted it to make it okay that he can be a homosexual. And I'm talking about that right now because that's what I'm talking about at this second. But this is the same thing with a liar. This is the same thing with a fornicator. This is the same thing with an adulterer. This is the same thing for a backbiter. This is the same thing for somebody who is rebellious and disobedient. This goes the same thing that people take the Word of God, okay? They take the truth, okay, and they hold it in unrighteousness. They take the Word of God and twist it around to be what they want it to be. They take the Word of God and twist it around to fit what they are doing. And this is what's happening. But the Word says in that same verse, we haven't even got off that verse yet, Pastor Felicia. It says, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Okay? But yet people take the Word of God and twist the Word of God to make it fit their circumstances, to make them feel okay about what they're doing and think that God is okay with it just because you think, it's all right. Just because we think that we've changed the Word of God and made it okay to fit our circumstances, we think that God is going to change his mind about his Word.
Oh, no.
And I hate to tell you this, Pastor Felicia. I hate to tell you this, listening audience. I hate to tell you this, Teresa, but God's not going to change his Word for you or for me. He didn't change it in the Old Testament. He's not going to change it now. God's Word is already written. His Word is already sealed. His Word is what it is. You don't have to like it, but God's Word's not going to change. We are supposed to change because of the Word, not the Word change because of us.
That's right.
Okay. I don't know. There's a scripture, and I'm going to see if I can find it. I'm going to see if I can find the scripture that there is a spirit of error, and there's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error, okay? And I got to find it because spirit of error and spirit of truth, it really is here in this Bible. Okay, and I'm going to show y'all. Here it is right here, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Pastor Felicia, after I read this, I want you to start reading down to read verse 18 again and then go down to verse 23 after I read this scripture, if you don't mind. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles and you're listening on the phone line or in the chat room, would you please turn to that scripture? I like people to turn to the scripture to see what it is I'm reading and see if your Bible says the same thing my Bible says. Okay? 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And I love the way this first verse starts off. It said, Beloved. Okay? Beloved, do not believe every spirit. But try the spirits and see whether they be of God. I like that right there. It says, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Okay? And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, this scripture right here says a lot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The world's not going to hear us, okay? Those that are living a lifestyle of sin, they don't want to hear what we got to say. They don't want to hear the spirit of truth. They're functioning in the spirit of error. And as you go, you okay? As you go down and read the first chapter of Romans, you will see that it is definitely a spirit of error operating. And the spirit of error is still operating in this world, that people would rather believe a lie rather than the truth. People would want to take what verse number 18 says, and they hold the truth in unrighteousness. If you're taking the word of God and twisting it to what you want it to say to fit what you're doing, you're holding the truth of God. You're holding the truth in unrighteousness, and God is not accepting that. I don't care how much we want to twist the word of God around to fit our situation. God's not accepting that. God's not accepting anything but his word the way he wrote it, the way he allowed these men, these holy men of God, to write it. That's all he's accepting. He's not accepting rewrites of his word. He's not accepting do-overs of his word. He's accepting his word and his word only. Why? Because Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He's not accepting anything else other than his word. So I don't care how we try to twist it around. We can twist it around until Jesus parts the sky, but God is not accepting anything other than his word.
Mm-hmm.
I know I keep saying it over and over again, but this is something that we got to understand, that we cannot take God's word and change it into a lie. And those of us who know the truth, we can't stand around while people are taking the word of God and twist it into a lie. We got to let them know, look, you're lying. Okay? If it's not what God's word says, you are lying. And if they don't want to receive the word of God, bye. Dust your feet off and keep it moving. Shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. We cannot sit around and listen to people while they twist the word of God. God says we're not supposed to even change the word of God. We're not supposed to take away from the word of God. We're not even supposed to add to the word of God. Everything that it says in Romans chapter 1, we want to twist it around and say, well, God understands. Huh? God understands? Okay. That's what you want to believe, boo-boo. You go ahead and believe it. I'm going to tell you what the word of God says. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed. We sitting around taking the truth of God and we holding the truth of God in unrighteousness. And he's supposed to be satisfied with that? Mm-mm, I'm going to stop talking. Go ahead, Pastor Felicia.
No, he's not. God's not going to change his word for anybody. You know, he'll never lower his standards. You know, his word is holy. His word is pure. That's one reason why, you know, he asked us not to take away from it or to add to it, because of the holiness of his word. once you can start adding and taking it, adding and taking away, it makes it unholy. And you can't, you know, God is not unholy. I'm an unholy God. You know, so, yeah, I'm in total.
He's not an unholy God. And you know what? God's just not going to change. It's us that has to change because of the word. It's us. And if we don't understand the word, we can go to God in prayer and ask God, God, I need you to help me to understand your word. Help me to understand your word. You know, I was listening to Evangelist Mack when she came to Philadelphia, and she was talking about the woman's place versus the man. The man is the head of the wife. I don't care how many ways you want to say it, the man is the head of the wife. God made the man first, then he made the woman.
That's
right. But we don't want to hear that because the women, we done got liberated, you know? We don't want to hear that the man is the head of the house. Oh, no, you do your thing, I'll do mine. You're not my boss. I'm not going to listen to you. This is, you know, from a woman's standpoint, I'm not your daughter. I'm your wife. You ain't my daddy, so you're not going to be talking to me like that. You know, these are the kind of things we say. My money is my money, and your money is your money is my money. It's not your money is your money. No, your money is my money, sir. You know what I mean? Wives are over their husbands in the church. Wives are, you know, the husband, he's just sitting there looking all kookaloo while the wife's taking over, tearing up the church. And I'm not saying that all women tear up the church, but a lot of ministries that I've been in and I've seen women in leadership and their husbands sitting back watching, they're tearing up the church. Why? Because there's something that's out of order. There's something that's out of order. Now, where the man is not stepping up, that's a whole different story. And we're not talking about that tonight, but I'm saying that order is supposed to be set up. There's supposed to be a godly order, okay? And godly order does not take his word and change it to what we want it to be. That's not godly order at all, okay? So, now, can you read verse 18 through 23, Pastor Felicia, Romans 1? Honey, I'm going to need you to put your phone on mute.
Amen. And it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Wow. My Lord.
It's all I can say right now. Verse 21 says they knew God because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their imagination became vain. They thought what they thought was right. See, that's why the Bible tells us about our thought. It tells us, David says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That's why we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's why we got to be transformed by the word. The word of God is not of anybody's private interpretation. Can we say that? The word of God was not given to us to interpret it the way we want to interpret it. It wasn't, God didn't give us the word of God to interpret it the way we want to interpret it. The way he gave it to the holy men of God, to write it is the way he wanted to give it to us. Okay?
Right.
Now you got people taking the word of God, and there's so many translations, and they're taking important passages from out of the Bible. They're taking God out in certain places. They're taking Jesus out in certain places. They're taking the Holy Spirit out in certain places. And this one lady said that they're changing the Bible so much so that these new versions are 10% smaller because they've taken out 10% of the word.
That's right. More than that, seems like. Mm-hmm.
They're taking out so much of the word to make it more appealing to the world. The world is not going to understand the word of God because the things that are in the spirit is foolishness to them that's in their natural mind. It's foolishness to them. The natural man receiveth not the things of God because it's foolishness to them. They can't understand. They can't discern what the word of God says in the natural mind. We can read the word of God in the natural all day long. But until we get into the spirit of the word, it's not going to make sense to us. But we try to understand the word of God in our natural mind, but we got to understand this thing spirit to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is spirit and it's life. It's spirit and it's life. We're spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. But we tend to make it backwards. That says we have a body, we have a soul, and it's somewhere we got a spirit.
Right.
We have soul, we live in a body, and we got a spirit. We tend to place the spiritual part of ourselves to the end of the table, to the back, all the way to the back, and we operate out of our soulish realm. That's why it's so easy to take the word of God and change it to what we want to change it to, because we're operating out of our soulish realm instead of the spirit realm. Okay? And, of course, those that are in the natural are going to take the word of God and make it to be what they want it to be because they're operating out of the soulish realm. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But see, we want to operate out of the soulish realm so we can make ourselves feel good because we don't want to obey the word of God. But God is not, I'm telling you, I don't know where the evangelist met, why she not on that, because she could break it down too. God's word not going to change. Okay? So we might as well just come on out the soulish realm and get into the spirit, so that we might be able to receive the things of God in the spirit. Because that's where we got to go. We got to receive this stuff in the spirit. And then we'll begin to see ourselves transforming by the renewing of our mind. But as long as we want to take this word of God, okay, and we want to hold the truth in unrighteousness, there's not going to be any change for the better.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any change for the better. Now we want to go forth on to verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. There's that word again. Okay, that word is in verse 18. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through what, Pastor Felicia? He gave them up to uncleanness through what? Through the lust of their own heart.
My.
God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So the lust of their own heart caused them, okay, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So God gave them over to that. That's what y'all want to do? I'm giving it over. Giving y'all over to that. Why? Because y'all hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Back to verse 18. You're holding the truth in unrighteousness. So God gave them up to their uncleanness. He talks about uncleanness in verse 18. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. 25, who changed the truth of God. Here we go again. See, people don't study the Word of God to be able to see these correlations between these verses. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Here we go. This is verse 25. What did verse 18 say? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's saying the same thing. If you're holding the truth in unrighteousness, you're changing the Word of God into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So we walking around worshiping the creature. We're walking around worshiping men who's telling us lies, who's allowing us to live lies. We're worshiping them because they're letting us live in our sin and do what we want to do. So we're worshiping them rather than the Creator and asking God to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So we're walking around, those that agree with us, we're going to worship them because they agree with us while we're in our sin. The pastors that's walking around and not talking to you about what you're doing, your lifestyle of sin, not condemning you, but bringing to your attention that this is not of God. This is not godly. If it's not godly, it's ungodly. If it's not righteous, it's unrighteous. Verse 26, for this cause, here we go again, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Mm-hmm. The women changed the natural use. They changed the natural use into that which is against nature. What y'all think that mean? Hey, Boo Boo Shirley. Come on now. We ain't none of us on here slow. Who changed the natural use? But it says God, first it says that God gave them up to uncleanness. Now this verse says that God turned them over. Okay, God gave them up. He gave them up. Both of them say that. I'm sorry. Both of them say God gave them up. Gave them up to uncleanness. He gave them up to vile affections. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their heart, burned in their lust, one towards another, men with men. Now, y'all can say what y'all want to say, okay? But this verse says it very clearly, men with men.
Mm-hmm.
Working that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was me. The recompense of their error.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist Max says she can't hear anything. I don't know why she can't hear anything. Shirley, can you hear us? Can you hear us? If you can hear us, Shirley, let me know. We're in Romans chapter 1, Shirley. Okay, Evangelist. Yeah, Shirley can hear us. I don't know what's going on. Okay, she can hear us. Verse 27, okay, now we just read that. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, okay, God gave them over. Here we go again. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with what, Pastor Felicia, in verse 29? Being filled with all what? Unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody count these words for me. I want y'all to count these words for me. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, okay, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Have pleasure. So you know, okay, the judgment of God, that they which do these things are worthy of death. All that stuff I just named. Those that do these things are worthy of death. You know this is the judgment of God, that those that do these things are worthy of death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, in Romans 6:23, right? But it said, you know the judgment of God, but not only do you do this stuff, but you take pleasure in them that do it. We read not the Bible, Shirley. I don't know what page it is in your Bible. We ain't reading Romans chapter 1. Not only that do those things, but you take pleasure in them that do it. So not only am I drunk, but I'm glad that you are drunk too. I take pleasure in you are drunk. Every chance I get, I'm gonna take you out to the club, or I'm gonna take you out to the Applebee's, and we're gonna sit at the bar and we're gonna drink. Cause I know you like to drink, so I'm gonna drink and you gonna drink and we're gonna all have fun, huh? So not only am I drunk, but now I'm taking pleasure in the fact that you're drunk. Not only am I a liar, but I'm taking pleasure in the fact that you're lying. All of this stuff that we just read about. Now, was this just talking about homosexuality?
Nope.
This talking about all unrighteousness and all ungodliness. If you look at verse 18, it's talking about all sin. And it says three times that God gave them up. God gave them up. God turned them over. And I want to read something to you that I found on the internet. It says, what is a reprobate mind? Okay? And these are three scriptures, Romans 1:28, 2 Timothy 3:8, and Titus 1:16. Okay? And it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's Romans 1:28. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. You heard that? So do these also resist the truth. Men of what? Corrupt mind. Reprobate concerning the faith. That's 2 Timothy 3:8. Then Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I know some of us didn't know the word reprobate was in the Bible this many times, but it's right here, okay? The minds of these people became corrupted concerning the faith. They deny God and even pollute their good works. Those who don't like to retain God in their knowledge eventually take on a reprobate mind. God just gives them over to a reprobate mind. Okay? He just gives them over. It sounds as if these people are not living right, and they're not. If you have a reprobate mind, you're not living right. You think wrong is right and right is wrong. The Bible says, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. Woe to them. That means you in trouble. If you calling good evil and evil good, you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Pastor Felicia, okay. Give me a high five. Give me a high five through the phone. Yes.
High five.
Bam.
Clap. Bam, bam.
They in trouble. It says they don't seem to have a desire to please God. Okay, they don't have a real desire to please God, but what they want is for God to appease what they're doing. They want God to approve what they're doing. They want God to say, you know what, Felicia, I know you struggle in that area. Girl, go on and keep doing what you're doing. It's okay. I'm going to overlook that on you because I know you went through a lot in your life. You know, you ain't got to live holy in that area right there, Felicia, because you've been through a lot. So I'm going to overlook that for you. It's all right. I know you can't, you know, you can't keep your body under. I know you don't, you know, beat your body down and keep your body under and keep your body under suggestion. You can't. That's too much for you, Felicia. So I'm going to let you go ahead, and you can do what you want to do, Felicia. Now, what kind of foolishness is that? Why did Jesus have to go and die on the cross if God didn't want us to be in right relationship with him? Why did Jesus have to take on those 39 stripes for us? Why was he wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities if God just going to say, do what you want to do anyway? Why? I need somebody to answer that for me because my foolish understanding, I don't get it. Why is it okay for us to take the word of God and twist it into what we want to twist it to be and expect God to be okay with what we do with his word? Why do we think in our futile understanding, in our finite mind, why do we think it's okay for us to just take God's word and twist it around and make it fit what we're doing? We're the creation. We're not the creator. We're the creation. And we're the creation telling God, look, you want to accept what I do.
Ah, my. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, Lord.
That's what we do. I know you said this, but God, I'm going to do this, and you're going to accept it. And then we want to offer him funky offerings, offerings that are no good, offering him strange fire, lifting up unholy hands, thinking we lifting up holy hands because we just got finished sinning, but yet we're going to come in the sanctuary and lift up unclean hands and offer God an unclean sacrifice, and he's supposed to accept it just because we're putting it out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. Nuh-uh. No. Oh, Evangelist Meg says, because we all think everything is about us, and we think God was made for our pleasure, okay? He may not destroy us right away, but it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So we can twist the word of God any way we want to twist it. We can twist it around. We can put a rainbow over it, okay? We can do anything we want to do with the word of God, but God's word is not going to change. And you can rest assured that when you close your eyes and judgment day come, okay, because once we close our eyes and go to that grave, that's not the end of the story. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. So we're going to have to stand before God and answer to him everything that we did in these bodies. And we don't think yes, we are. Good evening, Art Studies, Freedom Doors Ministries, In Him Ministries, and Shirley Moore. God bless you, and thank you for joining us. And I don't know if this is my sister or area code 215437, but whoever it is, thank you for joining us tonight, and the rest of you all on the phone lines, Evangelist Mac, Pastor Felicia, and my husband's on the line, too. He was having a coughing spell, so he's on mute. But anytime you want to jump in here, Bishop Scott, jump in. Evangelist Max in the chat room, too, and she says, hey, Bishop, you might want to pick up the phone and say hi to her.
Hi, Evangelist Max. Pastor Felicia, Evangelist Scott.
God bless you.
And everyone else on the chat in the chat room and on the phone line and those who will be on the archives, we thank God for you. I love this passage. It reminds us that God will leave us to our reprobate mind, that God will leave us to our evil thoughts. He'll leave us like that. And as I always say, sometimes we get it twisted. We think because God doesn't come with a lightning bolt and strike us down that we've escaped his wrath, or we've pulled the wool over his eyes, or we've flim-flammed him or deceived him or fooled him or whatever. But you look at your life, and sometimes we wonder why our lives are almost there but never get there. We wonder why our lives are hellish. We wonder why opportunities come our way and then all of a sudden dissipate and disappear and finally vanish. We wonder why when we just get to where we need to be, it seems to move away from us even further, so we have to strive even harder to get it. Some of that is because of our reprobate mind, because of our sinful, willful selves. That, and it's almost hellish to almost be where you always want to be or gain what you want to gain or accomplish what you want to accomplish, and then just when you're about ready to reach out for it, it moves further away from you, taunting you almost, teasing you. It's because we have not allowed God to be God. God's going to bless you. God's going to allow his grace and his mercy on everybody. The drug addict and the drug user and the drug seller all woke up this morning somewhere in this world. So grace and mercy is offered to everybody. But mm-hmm. blessings and favor are offered to those who are faithful. Thank you.
All right then, Bishop. He just stopped. Thank you. Thank you, Bishop. And it's true. I like when you say that, too, that the sinner man woke up today just like the righteous man woke up today. The sun shined on the righteous man just like his sun on the like he shined on the unrighteous man. Shirley said that was quick, Gerald.
Thanks, sis.
They know you don't do that. She said, love my brother dear. She loves her brother dear.
Love you, too.
But God does... He shows grace and mercy to everybody that wake up. But just because we wake up don't mean that we're okay with God. Okay? Just because you didn't get in that car accident today doesn't mean that you're okay with God. Just because the ground didn't open up and you fell in it like Korah and them did in the Bible don't mean that you're okay with God. Okay? But there is a day of judgment. Oh, yes. There is a day of judgment. All right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a day of judgment. Now, let me tell you something. I don't want to stand before God, and he asked me why you changed my word. Why did you change my word? Okay, the truth of my word. And not only did you change the truth of my word, but you taught others,
mm-hmm.
okay, that it's okay to sin and I'm going to be all right with it. Why did you do that? I don't want God to ever ask me that because I never want to do that. I don't want to teach God's word and be in error about his word. But God's word said you changed his word, you changed the truth of his word into a lie. In verse number 25, I'm not making it up. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. He didn't just give them up to uncleanness because he had nothing better to do. He gave them up to uncleanness because they were lusting in their heart. Okay? They were lusting in their hearts to do the stuff that they were doing. So they wanted to do it, so God just turned it over. Turn them over. That's what you want to do. I'm going to turn. God's not going to force us to live holy and righteous. God's not going to force us to live holy, Felicia.
That's right.
He's not going to make us do it. So you want to be lusting and you want to be doing all this other stuff, I'm turning you over. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Taking God's word and changing it to what we want it to be. Woman, you can be the head of your husband if you want to be. That's not what the word of God say. That's not what the word of God say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl, you can go ahead and steal that because God know you hungry. He understand. Uh-uh, that's not what the word of God say. The word of God says let him that stole steal no more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can sleep with this person and you can sleep with that person and you can sleep with a girl and you can sleep with a boy. You can sleep with a man and a woman. Heck, you can go ahead and sleep with animals. That's not what the word of God says. The word of God says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
When we take our bodies and misuse them for sex and stuff like that, we're dishonoring the temple of God, those of us that are born again. We're dishonoring the temple of God if we're doing that. Because this is the temple of God. And if we destroy this temple, God going to destroy us. Well, you say, well, I'm not bisexual, and I'm not trisexual, and I'm not homosexual, and I'm not lesbian. Well, maybe you're filling your body with stuff that your body's not supposed to be filled with. Oh, y'all don't want me to talk about that, right? Y'all don't want me talking about all the extra stuff that we put in our bodies that we're not supposed to put in, destroying the we're not supposed to talk about that, right?
We're not supposed
to talk about being a glutton, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to talk about that,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh, no, girl, eat what you want to eat. Do what you want to do, girl. It's your body. You grown. Do what you want to do. God understands. Guess what? Y'all not finna catch me up in that. Y'all not finna catch me up in that. Uh-uh. No, mm-mm. I'm not judging you. I'm giving you what the word says, Evangelist Mack. You're on the line.
Amen. I just had to come in there to say this. As long as we're disobedient, we cannot be blessed in the way that God truly wants to bless us. As long as we look into everything else but God and his word, we can't be blessed in the way God really wants to bless us. Because what we do, we're taking our own ways, our own thoughts. We're doing what we want to do. God left a map. He left instructions for man that he made for his pleasure. He wasn't made for our pleasure. We were made for his. He's our Lord and Master. Whether we receive it, whether we believe it, it does not matter. It is what it is. He's our Lord and Master. And until we go to the instructions and completely follow the instructions of God, we're going to be messed up. And again, it's appointed one time you're going to die. And when you wake up again, you standing to be judged by Almighty God, who has all the power, the righteous and holy God, the God that's more than fair. There's no tricks in him. He haven't pulled anything to trick you so that you can fail at being obedient.
Yes.
So that you can fail at his word. So until we get it right with him and until we accept what Almighty God allows, we're going to be messed up out here. And we can follow anybody we want. We can follow T.D. Jakes. We can follow a JTK. We can follow anything we want. But until we get those instructions right and follow them to the letter, there's really no hope for us. And we must believe that Jesus sent his son.
Stop changing the word of God.
Okay. All right. And there you got it now. Anything outside of that, you're in trouble. See, because God loved us. He so loved us, he allowed his son to suffer, hang, bleed, die, conquer all, and rise again with all power. For us. And we don't look at his sufferings. We just look at our flesh and fall prey to our flesh. We won't train ourselves how to make this flesh, along with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, make this flesh come under subjection.
What?
That's why you have preachers and pastors doing all kind of stuff. That's why you have what they call the church folks saying all kind of stuff and doing all kind of stuff. Folks still committing fornication. Folks still committing adultery. They lying, they cheating, they stealing. They still clubbing, getting drunk, doing anything they're big enough to do. Won't forgive nobody. Strictly about a dollar bill. God is not about no money. It's all about love and obedience with him. Faith. Yeah, we got to have that. But without that, we'll never obey. If you don't have faith and patience, we'll never obey God. Because you can have faith, but if you ain't got no patience, that won't do you no good.
That's right. If you don't have patience, it's going to lead you right into disobedience. Because you don't got enough patience to wait on what God says.
All right. The songwriter said it the best, except, y'all know I had to sing one, what God allows. We're better off anyway. You just got to face the fact and never stray. Turn your faith loose. He'll bring you out and give you the proof. Don't question God. Just accept what God allowed. But we think we too much. We think we owe something. And it's about me and how I feel. It's not about you and how you feel. It's
Amen.
About God and what he says.
That's right.
And we can take all of that to the bank, as they say. Because I'm telling you, man is messed up. Man wants things his way. But God left instructions. And until we learn to follow those instructions again to the letter, obedience, make sacrifices, have patience, yeah, and walk in the spirit. Stop walking in our flesh.
Yeah. Can we turn to Titus 1:15?
Wait, say that again, Evangelist Scott.
Can we turn to the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 15?
Okay, I'm going to let you turn. My Bible still in my luggage. I didn't unpack yet.
All right. The traveling lady didn't unpack yet. I'm going to read it out loud anyway.
Thank you, ma'am.
Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure all things are pure. I'm trying to turn the page. Unto the pure all things are pure, and I cannot turn this page. I'm sorry, y'all. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, there's that word again, both of those words, defiled and unbelieving, is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. If we would get in the Word of God, if we would pray and ask God to help us to come out of our natural minds and to receive the things of God through his Word, things would become pure. We wouldn't take God's Word and try to change his Word around, because his Word would be pure to us. His Word would be truth to us. We wouldn't take God's word and try to twist it around to fit what we wanted to fit if we were not defiled in our thinking. But because we almost act like we hate God. We almost act like we hate God. We say we love God with our mouths, but our actions indicate that we don't really love God. I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm talking about people who profess God, but their lifestyle is completely contrary to what they're saying. See, another thing Evangelist Max says is God hear what you say, but he see what you do.
Amen.
You can
say
you're a Christian all day long, but if you're not living like a Christian, what you say don't mean nothing. Okay, you can take your physical body and go stand in the garage and close the door, and you can stand there all day, all night. You can stay in there for a matter of years if you want to, but that'll never make you a car. You can say I'm a car all day long, but you're not a car just because you stand in that garage. Just because people go to church and have a form of godliness don't mean that they're Christians. If you're living like the devil, I mean living bona fide like the devil, okay? If it look like a duck, if it quack like a duck, if it walk like a duck, and it even swim around in that water like a duck, 9.999% of the time, that thing is a duck.
All right.
Okay? We can't fool God any day of the week. We can't fool God at any minute of any hour of any day. So we can talk a good game, but God knows whether we're living it. The man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God knows every person that goes home and secretly drinks. God knows every person that's secretly popping pills. God knows every person that's secretly backbiting and lying and getting on the phone and saying, well, let's pray for so-and-so. But you know, child, they doing this and that. No, God knows every single thing that goes on with us.
Yes, amen.
Oh, every, he knows the secrets. The Bible says, David said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. This is what David said. These are the kind of things we should be praying. Lord, keep me back from presumptuous sins. The songwriter wrote, I'm prone to wander. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Because we still in this flesh, but if we would train this flesh to come under subjection to the Holy Spirit, to come under subjection to the new man, if we don't train our flesh to come under subjection to the new man, because the new man really is not alive because we don't feed the new man. The new man is starving to death. Because we still feeding our flesh. And we wonder why we can't get from point A. Why we still stuck at point A. Because we're not nurturing our spirit man. We're not training our spirit man. We're still living in the flesh. And the Bible says those that are in the flesh cannot please God.
And that's the word you're preaching right there. Preach.
And that's what we try. Look, let me tell you something. That's how some people get turned over. That's how God turns people over, because they're living in the flesh. Anytime we live in the flesh, we're going to be disobedient or contrary to the word of God.
Okay.
The flesh is not going to obey the word of God. When we walk in the flesh, we're God's enemy. It's enmity against God when we live in after the flesh. Those that live according to the flesh will die. But we act like God is playing with us, because we ain't died yet.
Come on.
But we spiritually dead. Okay? I know you rolled up in a Hyundai and you trying to tie your bow tie and all that other stuff.
E-L-L-E-O-C.
Yeah. Yeah. God is not impressed with that. He's not impressed with that. Man might be impressed. You can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues like they did in the book of Acts, that every man will understand what you're saying in their own language. You can do all of that. But guess what? If you ain't living nothing, God ain't impressed with that. God wants us. What you say, Evangelist Barbara Mac? God wants us. He ain't worried about our garments. He wants us to render our hearts.
Amen.
He wants us to give our hearts to him. We act like we hate God. I'm talking about those that are living a lifestyle of sin. We act like we hate God. How can we say we love God, but yet we disobey him? Jesus said, how can you call me Lord and you don't even do what I say?
My Lord.
You calling me Lord, but you don't do nothing I say. How can you call me Lord? How can you even fix your mouth to call me Lord and you're not doing anything I say? All of this stuff written right here in the book of Acts in the first chapter, the book of Romans in the first chapter. All of this stuff. And people want to reduce it to homosexuality. I'm here to tell you that this is more than homosexuality, boo-boo.
All right now.
This talking about the flesh. This talking about our nasty, stinking, filthy flesh that keeps changing the word of God, the truth of God, the truth of the word of God into a lie to fit our nasty, stinking flesh, because we don't want to crucify, we don't want to mortify with the help of the Holy Spirit the deeds of this flesh. And no flesh is going to glory before God. No flesh. And no flesh is going to enter into heaven. This corrupt stuff that we dealing with here, this stuff not going to heaven. I don't know who told you it was, but it ain't going. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you wake up and find yourself in hell, the Bible says, if I make it my bed in hell, God is there. But if you go to hell, he not getting you out of hell because he give you a chance right now. Okay? So please don't use that scripture, if I make my bed in hell, God is there. Because if you go to hell, because Jesus already came and went to hell and set captivity captive, okay? He already did that. He gave us the Holy Ghost to help us right now.
Man.
Right now. He's not going back to hell again. Jesus not going back to hell again. He already took the keys to hell, death, and the grave. He's not going back to hell. He already did that. He's giving us a chance to get it right now. He's tarrying right now to give us chance. If we wake up again tomorrow, Jesus done tarried so he can give us another chance. Don't take the chance that Jesus is giving you and throw it back up in his face. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who I know that don't want to be saved. I don't care who I know that don't want to live for Christ. You make that decision. Okay? You make that decision. But I'm going to live for Christ until he called me out of here. I'm going to live for him until he called me out of here. Because he's done too much for me. All you got to do is look in the book of Isaiah 53. If you would just meditate on Isaiah 53, where he said he was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you are healed, that will give you so much motivation to live right. But we don't fully understand that, I mean, what he actually did for us on the cross. He did that so we can get back in right standing. Well, we can get back in right standing with God the Father so that we can go back to heaven and live with him eternally, so that we can go and get that mansion that he got up there for us. I don't know about y'all, but all of this other stuff on this earth is going to fade away. We can't take none of this stuff with us when we die. This stuff is going to fade away. But there's an eternal life with God the Father, and there's an eternal damnation in hell in that lake of fire. And the life we live on this earth is going to determine where we go. And we can't blame God. We can't blame God if we find ourselves in the lake of fire. We can't blame God. We can't call God an unjust God when he gave us the keys right here. He gave us his word. He gave us Jesus. He gave us the Holy Ghost. We don't have any excuse. If you can't read, there's DVDs, there's CDs to listen to the word of God. We don't have any excuse. But when we don't live right, it's because we operate out of our flesh, and we have not crucified this flesh. We have not mortified this flesh. Do we got to mortify this flesh every day? Yes. Paul says, I die daily. None of us have arrived. We got to die daily to the deeds of this flesh, to the lust of this flesh. God turned them over in verse 24. It says, God gave them to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. The heart is wicked. It's sick. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says he gave them over. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. We lusting after stuff that don't got nothing to do with God. We lusting after stuff that's taking our attention away from God. We lusting after stuff and think it's okay. Because you still standing in the pulpit preaching, and you ain't dropped dead yet. God will use you, like Evangelist Max said, and you still just as fired as you want to be. But God will use you because somebody else needs to be delivered. I don't want to be fired. I'm working for nothing and still going to go to hell. No, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cleanse me. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord, and if you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. It's not my mother. It's not my father, but it's me, oh, Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. And that's the cry that we all should be crying out every day. Search me, Lord. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You, Holy Spirit, I need you. Glory to God. All right, anybody on the phone line have anything to say here? Press the 1 if you're on the phone line, if you have anything to say. We have 215 on the line, 267 on the line, that's my sister. 843-884, if you have something to say, please press the number 1. My husband, you're on somewhere. If you got something to say, please say it right now. Bishop?
Yes, yes, I'm right here.
All right, we're waiting on you to speak.
Okay, we have to understand it's just the mind and the heart that has to get straight with God. I like what you said before, that we have to stop this pretending. We have to stop pretending. We have to be up front with God. If we're all faltering along the way, we have to say, Lord, restore me. Bring me back to where I need to be. We talk about loving God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. I venture to say that we have some more loving to do.
Oh, yes, we do.
We can finally say that honestly.
Yes.
You know, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, my Lord. That means I think right about everything. I act right about everything. That's all. That's what all means. All means all. There's not one thing I don't think right about. There's not one thing I don't act right about. There's not one thing that my mind doesn't drift on. I mean, that's a big claim, but I think we need to be honest with ourselves. Lord, I can't say all, but I want to say all. Lord, I can't say everything, but I want to strive to get to everything.
Yes, Lord.
Thing that I still need to get right, help me to do that, Lord.
Yes.
A straight path, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to mortify that thing.
Yes.
Still is the thing that keeps me from being pleasing in your sight.
Yes, Lord.
But allow the Holy Spirit to take that thing that denies me to be the thing and the person that you require me to be. You know, sometimes we harp too much in our past glories and don't continue to strive in the areas that we still find ourselves falling short in.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for arising me above that thing.
Yes.
This thing.
Yes.
Me crucifying that issue in my life. Now let me deal with this issue in my life.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for taking me away from homosexuality and adultery and even backbiting.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Thoughts and having anger and jealousy and envy. Lord, let me work on those things now, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For yesterday's victory. But let me strive for some other victory to win, like the hymn writer said. Every victory should motivate us, should launch us into having another victory over another area. You know, a battle, the war is not won because somebody won a battle. Think about that. In the natural world, if we go to war against a nation, we have to have more than one victory to win the war. Am I right?
Yeah.
We've seen people have a victory, and it's like the Civil War. But the battle at Bunker Hill was a loss. But they had to come back and have another victory and another victory, some of it to win. Each victory allows us some of it to win.
Yes.
And we have to look at life like that. There's no war ever won with one battle won. You have to continue winning battles because there are going to be more battles you have to face. This victory leads me closer to the city that's captured. But there's some more armies I have to face. Some more things I have to battle. And each battle leads me to the ultimate victory.
Yeah.
I can't win a war with my rising above my lying when I still backbite.
Jesus.
When I still, as Romans 1 says, I find myself a whisperer. telling secrets about other people.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
A whisperer.
Don't tell them I said this.
Look at what the, I love this passage of scripture, because it just like Evangelist said, it goes beyond adultery, woman lying unnaturally with another woman, and man lying unnaturally with another man. It goes on. It talks about wickedness.
Yes.
Talks about dishonesty.
Yes.
Even talks about quarreling. Oh my God! Here we go.
Oh.
Here we go, preacher man. Here we go, Evangelist. Here we go, Bishop.
Go.
You mean I'm not supposed to even quarrel? No. Christ said, if you can't say anything, if you have to say more than yes than no, you're in danger of hellfire.
Ooh.
You don't quarrel.
My Lord.
You don't quarrel. You don't quarrel because I know Christ said that if they don't accept you, even if you speak in the word of God, if they don't accept you, you're supposed to wipe the dust off your feet.
Wipe it off.
And Paul says if they don't accept you, you're supposed to show them your hands and say, the blood is now on you. I'm clean.
My, Jesus.
That's what it says in the book of Acts. We studied last night, Evangelist.
Studied last night.
He showed him his hands and wiped his hands and said, I don't have your blood on my hands anymore. The blood is on your hands. I'm clean.
Yay, glory God.
That's what God told me to do.
Yes, glory
I
God.
Will, and I follow his way, and I follow his word, and I gave it to you, and I shared it with you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and quarrel with you, Grecians, about whether God's equal to Zeus, and I'm not going to quarrel with you Jews, whether Jesus really was the Messiah. I'm not going to quarrel with you.
Yes.
I'm just going to wash my hands of it, because the blood's on you, and I'm clean. So these are areas, you know, some of these other things that it says is arrogant. My Lord, you mean what? Being arrogant, that's equal to homosexual. Yes, it is. Disobeying your parents, young people, even older people who put their parents in the nursing home and forget about them, that's disrespect. If your mother and father has Alzheimer's, you can't handle it, and you have to put them into a nursing facility, you should be visiting them. You should still be caring for them, making sure that they're being treated right. My God.
Jesus.
It says the faithless, the heartless, the ruthless.
That's right. Name them all.
Those that are greedy. Those that are stuffed. I love this, the way the Hebrew actually, well, I'm reading from a Hebrew Bible now, the way the Hebrews actually said it. It says stuffed with jealousy. Stuffed with jealousy. Murder. Ill will. I got ill will against you.
Uh-huh.
Gossipers.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Haters of God.
Haters of God.
Arrogant.
Arrogant.
Boastful.
Mm-mm-mm.
Evil schemes daily.
Wow.
They are brainless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. My God. My God. You mean if I don't murder somebody with a knife and a gun, I can still murder him with my lips? In my tongue? Yes, you can. What did Christ say? Christ said if you call somebody Raca, which means fool, you're in danger of hellfire.
And Bishop, listen, we know and I want you to finish because, yeah, I want you to finish, but let's do this. Romans chapter 2. Because we stop at, usually we stop at 1, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But listen to chapter 2. It says, therefore thou art inexcusable. All that stuff you just got finished explaining to us? It says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. Just like it got finished talking in chapter 1, not only do you do these things, but you take pleasure in them that do it. But now they're talking about over here, you judging them, but you're doing the same thing. It says, but we are assured that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things, all that stuff you just got finished explaining to us in 1. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and doeth the same, Do you think that you shall escape the judgment of God? You judging them, but you on the down low.
Yes, Lord.
Judging the homosexual, but you on the undercover, you the undercover homosexual. You think you going to accept, you think you going to escape the wrath of God? You think you going to escape the judgment of God? You a liar.
Yes.
Condemning a liar, but you a liar. You think you going to escape the judgment of God? You a backbiter, a murderer with your mouth. You talking about them, but you do the same thing. You think you're going to escape the judgment of God?
Oh, no.
You're a hater of God. And obviously, if you're not obeying God, you're a hater of God, too. So you think that they're going to get judged, but you're not going to get judged? Oh, wow.
Oh, now.
Then it says in verse 4 in chapter 2, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do you despise the richness of his goodness and forbearance? Don't you know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Yes.
But after thy hardness, okay, after thy hardness, an impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth. Here we go with that again.
Here we go.
And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Here we go with that again, Felicia. Indignation and wrath. That's what you're going to get. Indignation and wrath if you don't obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. You're going to get indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God.
That's almost like evangelists. That's almost like preachers that preach about how you should live, but they're not living that themselves.
Uh-huh. Crazy.
Judging someone for what they're doing. I remember there was a preacher that fell from grace. He had a adulterous relationship with his secretary. And another preacher who was also well-renowned internationally condemned him and went on television and helped strip him of his ministerial rank in the company that he ran, his organization that he ran as a pastor. And he just talked about him so badly and was so unforgiving and so unyielding, judging him so harshly. And a few years, not many years hence, he was found in a motel room with a prostitute engaging in illicit sex with that prostitute. And then he fell from grace, went on television crying and asking his congregation to forgive him, and for a time his ministry was in jeopardy. He's now been since restored. But it just goes to show you exactly what the Lord is saying here. Can I read from the Jewish Bible? It says, therefore you have no excuse, whoever you are. Oh, my God, I like that. I like that. No distinction. No distinction. Whoever you are, passing judgment. But when you judge someone else, you are passing judgment against yourself, since you who are judging do the same things he does. We know that God's judgment lands impartially on those who do such things. Do you think that you, a mere man, passing judgment on others who do such things, yet doing them themselves, will escape the judgment of God? Or of his kindness and forbearance, and turn from your sins by your stubbornness, and by your unrepentance, you are stirring up anger for yourself on the day of anger, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. For he will pay back each one according to his deeds. To those who seek glory, honor, and immortality by perseverance in doing good, he will pay back eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking, who disobey the truth and obey evil, he will pay back wrath and anger.
Will pay back.
Yes.
will pay back. Means you ain't getting away with nothing.
That's right.
You ain't. We not getting away with nothing. God see everything. I love to say that. God see everything. He not fooled no day of the week. He sees everything. And I like that translation that you read. I like that translation that you read. Now, maybe you want to read the translation. We're going to read verse 12 of chapter 2
mm-hmm.
of Romans. For as many as have sinned without law also shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For
right.
not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the days when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. I like that. In the days when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. The secrets of men. Okay? Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resisting in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest of things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself?
Yes, Lord.
Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, through you. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision.
My Lord.
Okay.
My Lord.
I'm going to just read all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
For if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Circumcision is of the heart, y'all. We got to tear the foreskins off our heart, y'all, so we can live right, y'all. I know that sound country or whatever, but we got to live right. We got to rend our hearts. We got to take ourselves and really examine ourselves. If we're out here preaching and teaching love, we ought to be living love. If we're in here preaching against sin, we ought to be living life a life without sin. We know that we live in these bodies and we still live in this world, but our goal should be every day, I'm not going to purposely sin today. God, I need you to help me. I need your Holy Spirit to help me to mortify the deeds of my flesh. Whatever the deed of the flesh is, whatever the stronghold is that has you bound, whatever that thing is that you keep going back to and you seem like you can't get loose from, ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And he'll do it. But you got to have faith and you got to have patience. You got to have faith and you got to have patience. And you got to keep confessing that I am the righteousness of God. I am a holy woman of God. I will not use my mouth to sin. I will not use my body to sin. I'm not going to use this gray matter up in my head to sin. God, I'm going to live for you, and I need you to help me. Oh, yes, he will help you. Trust me, believe me, he will help you.
Yes, he will.
Anybody on the phone line, If you have a question or comment, please press the 1, and I'll get you on. I know my sister's on the line, and Phyllis Watt is on the line, and I believe that's Phyllis Watt right there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to say, oh, God, I just thank God for the word, because surely I was calling for something else from Evangelist Teresa, and I heard the word, and I just stayed on and listened, and truly it's about searching ourselves and being real for God, because we take things for granted daily, but, you know, like it says, we are on this battlefield where we have to crucify this flesh daily. And we get caught up in, you know, other folks and what they're doing, and we find our mouth being at fault, being just bad. And I just truly thank God, you know, for just reminding me, and you know, and I have to repent tonight, and I just thank God for His word that's keeping me, and you know, just wanting me to just go on and on. Because, like I said, I'm at a point where I can truly say, you know, I'm putting them things behind, and I'm just pressing forward. And it's a daily thing, and the only way we can press forward, if we got that word, because that word is going to find us if we want to be found. Because
Amen.
When God, that's that same God that saved us, is that same God is willing to keep us if we want to be kept. Thank God for all that was said tonight. I thank God for Bishop and the other young woman who was on, was speaking. Truly is about, we got to get it together. And
yes,
it's
ma'am.
Now. Because tomorrow's not promised. And not so much fearing of death, but having a heart to do the right thing.
Yes,
because,
ma'am.
Like I said, it's about crucifying. We have to be that example to save others. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. And if we truly say we call Him Lord, then we got to obey. And I just
yes,
thank
ma'am.
God for all that was said tonight, because it was truly for me.
Sister Dolores.
Yes.
I thought there was somebody else on the line, but your voice is unmistakable.
I'm from South Carolina, and this, I don't know, the connection is really bad, and I think that, you know, that's what's going on with the weather and stuff. I don't know what it is. But we have a real bad connection here.
Oh, okay. Well, I thank you so much for joining us. And, yeah, because I didn't know what the area code, I thought it was Prophetess Jurgen Watt.
No, South Carolina. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you come back to Philadelphia, call us, because I really want to talk to you about something.
Okay.
So give us a call when you get back to Philadelphia.
All right, I'll do that.
We can talk about a couple of things pertaining to ministry, but I'm glad that you tuned in tonight, because guess what? The truth of the matter is, this word is for all of us.
But
none of us have arrived.
Yeah.
None of us has gotten to the point where this word is not for us.
Amen.
It's for all of us. And I got my hand raised because I'm first partaker.
Well, I used to say many times, I go to church, and whenever I hear a word, I say, oh, so-and-so should have heard that. So-and-so is me, you know, and that's
right.
What it is. Who it
yes,
is,
ma'am.
So-and-so, that's what it's for.
Lord,
so I just thank you.
Your voice.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice.
Yes, good to hear you too, Bishop.
How's Pastor Dorier doing?
Pastor Dodier is coming along. He's going through a little sickness with his leg and different things, but he's
Oh,
really
I'm about to give him a call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm going to
give
him a call.
Yes.
I don't think we have the house number. Do you have his number?
Yeah, he has
the house number. No, I don't have his number.
And the phone number. His phone number is 267 and 622-5179. And
Let
the house number.
Can you say that one more time?
267.
Uh-huh.
622.
Okay.
5179.
Amen.
Okay, we have it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I just think God.
Coming back up this way.
I dropped on.
When you coming back up this way?
I'm going to be, Lord's willing, next Wednesday I'm leaving.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We got to get together.
Yes, we will.
be good.
Okay.
We have to plan it because, like I said, everybody just caught up in there, you know, doing what they have to do. So we're going to set a date and commit to it.
Right, right. There you go.
Okay. Amen. All right, y'all be blessed. And it was, like I said,
be blessed
the word
as well.
Was very encouraging. Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
You. You blessed me tonight. Thank you so much.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh. Shirley, you're on the phone line, but do you have anything to say? In area code 215-437, if you have anything to say, we do have 18 minutes left. If anybody has anything, a question, a comment, a prayer request, would you please press the 1 and we'll get you on the line.
Amen.
Honey, you can finish out the broadcast because right now I don't have anything else to say, but I'd like to say to ARC Studios, Pastor Felicia, Reverend Dorsey, and, of course, my baby, Shirley Moore, thank you so much for staying in the chat room and joining us on tonight. We truly hope that something that we said tonight was a blessing unto you. I know it was a blessing to me. The Word of God is always a blessing unto me. But I'd like to say thank you so much for joining us on tonight. And I don't have anything else to say after this, so I'm going to turn it over to my husband, and then when he gets done, he can close us out.
Well, I just want to echo what my wife has said and what so many others have said. I'm glad to hear from Sister Dolores Dodier and everyone who came on the program, Pastor Felicia, Evangelist Mack, and so many others who came on the program or even listened to the program this evening. It was truly a blessing. Romans chapter 1, Romans as a in its entirety, really can help you live that kind of life that requires you to live. Let me say this one thing that I'm through for this evening. The importance of God's word is so vitally integral to our salvation and our building up our spirit man that the word that the Lord says, even if you change a jot or a tittle of the word, you're in danger of hellfire. Now, a lot of people don't know what those two terms mean in relationship to imagery, I guess would be more accurate description. A jot in the Hebrew is the smallest letter in the Hebrew language. And a jot is like an apostrophe. It's just that small. Like when you say IT apostrophe S, and it's the apostrophe is what a jot looks like. And then we talk about a tittle. A tittle is that stroke that makes one letter into another. For example, in order to make a P into an R, you need the stroke that changes a P to an R. So when our Lord Yahshua, Jesus says, if you change a jot, means the smallest letter, or you change a letter into another letter, you're in danger of hellfire if you change it in the Word of God. So even if you change the smallest thing, what you may consider an insignificant thing, or you change something so it fits your own preconceived ideas and beliefs. You know, people do that all the time too.
Mm-hmm.
Change the word to fit their own ideas and beliefs.
Yeah.
If you do that, you're in danger of hellfire. Because if you change a whole phrase, that certainly is more than a jot and a tittle. If you change a whole phrase, that's more than just an apostrophe and a stroke. So if he says if you change an apostrophe, even an apostrophe in the Word of God, if you change even a stroke, if it's meant to be a P and you make it into an R, it was meant to be an L, and you make it into a T. It was meant to be an O, and you make it into a capital Q. Then you're in danger of hellfire. That's how accurate this word is. It cannot be compromised. It cannot be added to. It cannot be taken away from. It cannot be changed. It cannot be revised. It cannot be revisited. It cannot be rewritten. It has to stand as it is. And that's why it's a danger. Translation is one thing, but transliteration is another thing. Transliteration, you're trying to get a word as close as the original word is in another language.
And that's where you have a problem, because he said not a jot or a tittle. So you have to put it down as it is and allow the Holy Spirit to give you revelation about it. You can't take out God where God is meant to be in a place. There's Bibles that take him out. There's Bibles that change God's gender. There's Bibles like that going around. All kind of versions are going around. And most of the time they're going around to support a presupposed idea and a human carnal concept that the Bible in its purity will not endorse. So you change the Bible so what you believe will be endorsed by the Word of God. Be careful, dear hearts. This Word of God, we talk about Paul wrote this and John wrote that and Matthew wrote this. Let's be clear. The Word of God is inspired by God. God put into the hearts, hands, and mind of these men and women. Remember, there's a book of Esther. He put in the minds and hearts and hands of these men and women what they were to pen. They didn't pen anything concerning their own ideas and their own concept. If you read the book of Isaiah, for example, he talks about things that's going to happen 600, 700, even 1,000 years later. He intimates what's going to happen during the tribulation. Talks about the Antichrist. And those things have yet to happen. And he talked about them in the B.C. So how did he know all this? He knew it because God revealed it to him.
Amen.
How did John, who died was in the Isle of Patmos about the year 75 A.D., talk about there's going to come a day when the New Jerusalem is going to come and there'll be a new heaven and new earth? Those things have yet to happen for us. Yet here he is in the year 96 A.D. penning these words. How would he know what's going to happen even in our future?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, the God, the third person of the Godhead. He said, I was caught up in the Spirit.
The Lord.
He ain't talking about no abracadabra, boobity bop spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit.
I know that's right.
Not talking about Casper, the friendly ghost.
Well,
he's talking about the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
You see what I'm saying? So here we have the Word at our disposal. When there's a question in your spirit, and if you walk in the way of the Lord, and Evangelist Teresa and I both do this. I've been doing it for many a year. If something doesn't sound right, even in someone preaching into my hearing or teaching into my hearing from supposedly the Word of God, and it doesn't ring true to me, or the Holy Spirit stirs me and having an ought with it, I'll go out by my own Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid to study for myself what you just preached. It's not an indictment on you. I just want to make sure that you're keeping in line with the Word of God and without compromise. So that's all I got to say this evening, Evangelist Scott, my wife, my partner both in ministry and life. That's about it for tonight for this old preacher, man. I invite everybody to come back on Friday evening for another episode of our program out of PR Ministries.
Amen.
With Jesus and the Word.
Yes.
My evangelist, Teresa Jeanette Scott.
You gave my whole government.
Born on May the 6th, da 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 da.
Uh-uh.
I said da 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 da. Good night, everyone.
Man, good night. We're going to play our. Uh-oh. Wait, somebody just pressed the one.
Amen.
Okay, come on, machine.
Hello,
area code 21543. God bless you.
Hi, Evangelist Scott and Bishop Scott. This is Mother Rhonda. I really enjoyed your program tonight.
Hey, Mother Rhonda.
It was very, very blessed. I was just so very happy to hear the word, and it is enjoyable. And thank God for sound teaching and sound doctoring. And I just wanted to just tell you that.
Amen. God bless you. You've been on for almost the whole program.
Yes, I have. I was just getting fed. We all need to be fed, and I needed to be fed, and I was really fed and blessed at the revival last week. And I know Evangelist Mac told me to get into the Book of Romans, so I was just listening attentively what was being said, and it was truly a blessing. And may God continue to use both of you in a mighty way.
God bless you, Mother Rhonda. We need to speak with you as well.
Okay.
I forgot to get your phone number from Lisa, but is this your home number or your cell number?
My home number, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have it in my cell phone right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to be calling you because I know you told me to call you. But after
okay.
the revival, you know how it is after all of that.
I understand perfectly well. I just wanted you to call me because I was blessed, and I just wanted to encourage you, but you and your husband both. This is wonderful, good teaching, and I was really blessed. That's why I stayed quiet. I just wanted to eat everything I could eat. I was just greedy for the word tonight.
Amen, amen. Hungry for it, too, because I'm sitting here. I really didn't know until earlier today what we were going to be teaching on tonight. But you
mm-hmm.
cannot go wrong when you're talking about these kind of things because it's talking about, it makes you really see the stuff
mm-hmm.
that's going on. And if
mm-hmm.
we cannot change the truth of God's word into a lie.
We cannot. No, we cannot.
So it doesn't matter what title we have,
mm-hmm.
you know, what organization we belong to. It doesn't matter. We cannot
mm-hmm.
change truth of the word of God into a lie because God is going to judge us for that. We're going to, like my husband said, you're not supposed to change a jot or a tittle. You're not supposed to change the slightest thing about God's word. He meant what he said, and he had those
mm-hmm.
holy men of God to write it because that's what he meant.
Yes.
He didn't tell us to go on and change it in 2012.
Mm-mm. No, he didn't. Mm-mm.
So I mean, y'all don't understand, like this word, I know that we're teaching this word, but this word to me is like, it's like, I mean, sometimes the word of God, I can sit down and the word of God is just so delicious to me. It's like,
mm-hmm.
wow. And I get mad at myself when I don't get in the word like I'm supposed to.
I know.
But these things getting on this radio, doing this broadcast, I'm telling you, it's cutting me up. It's a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
going in, and it's cutting me coming
mm-hmm.
out, Mother Rhonda.
Amen. Amen. It's accomplishing everything God wants us to accomplish, and that's the main thing about it. His word changes not, and that's the way it is. I just take it as what it was said, and that's it.
That's right. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So we know that you're full of the word of God as well, Mother Rhonda, and so we're going to be in touch with you about having you on as a guest on the broadcast the Lord gives you. So we'll be in contact with you about that, but I really thank you for your encouraging us on tonight and
mm-hmm.
for even us on the broadcast tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a blessed night.
All right, you do the same.
Okay.
And my sister, Cheryl, you know I love you. She ain't saying nothing tonight, but I thank God for my sister who's been on the broadcast all night too.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially thank God for my husband who texted. He tag teams with me, and I'm glad he does because he's learned it in the Word of God.
Yes, he is. I've learned that since I met him. Yes.
Yes. Compared to him, I'm straight a novice. I'm totally a novice compared to him, but we complement each other, and we're supposed to be in ministry together. It's not about him, and it's not about me. It's about us
mm-hmm.
working together in the ministry. So
wonderful.
We're just looking for great things to happen with this ministry that God has called us to. Because
mm-hmm.
the last days, Mother Rhonda, and I don't know.
I know that's right.
God, and I just want people to know, even on this broadcast tonight and even in the archives, if somebody's going to listen in the archives, I want them to know that if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can get to know him tonight. They can start
mm-hmm.
a relationship with him tonight or whenever it is they're listening to this in the archives,
mm-hmm.
October 24th, 2012. But they can get their relationship with God the Father,
mm-hmm.
you know, through his son, Jesus Christ. They can get that right now.
That's right now.
You know, they don't have to wait until they go to church on Sunday or Friday or whatever day or week they go.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done right now. Because
mm-hmm.
it says, you confess with your mouth and believe
mm-hmm.
in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved.
That's right.
You can do that thing right now. It's not
mm-hmm.
about passion. It's about right now. because we don't know when the Son of Man shall appear. We don't
know
the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall appear. But we do know that he's going to come. And when he comes, we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He's coming back like a thief in the night. It's not he's not going to have time to think about it when he cracked his
hallelujah. That's right.
So, I mean, he's giving us the opportunity to get it right now. If you're listening to this and you're not born again, please read John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. Okay? Please read that. Please read Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Please read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not confused with this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that renewing of your mind comes through studying, meditating on the Word of God. And then ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help you, because the Holy Spirit is our helper. And he'll lead you and he'll guide you into all truth. He'll help you to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
All you have to do is ask.
Yes, it. That's simple.
It's that simple. We try to make God so... I mean, God is God and nothing compares to God. But guess what? He makes it so simple to receive salvation.
Yes, he does.
It's so simple to receive his Holy Spirit. And we act like it's just so, you know, oh, no, that's just too much. That's too big. No, it's just that simple.
It's that simple. It's that gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving. I love that. I love that. All right, well, we're going to end this broadcast tonight. God bless everyone for being on. And we're going to end with this song, and I'm going to play my husband's version tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to play his version by Tamia tonight, tomorrow.
I thought about today. just you.